I love Thanksgiving, and it is truly my favorite holiday, and some people are surprised that a pastor would say that Thanksgiving's my favorite when we've got Christmas and we've got Easter, and of course I love those holidays as well, especially because of what they commemorate, the birth of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. But I love Thanksgiving because of the memories that I have and those that are being made even now. Thanksgiving was always at our house when I was growing up. And all morning long, the smell of the turkey roasting and the dressing and the hot rolls and the sound of the electric mixer mixing up the potatoes. And to me, that was just, when I hear that, I think of my mom whipping up the mashed potatoes always right at the time I wanted to see something on television, too. Lots of stuff on the TV, but football, of course, is one of the staples for Thanksgiving Day. But I always loved to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I still do. It just takes me back to that time. But I also remember Thanksgiving as one of the few times in the household where I grew up where we asked a blessing before the meal and gave God thanks for the blessings that we had. We didn't often do that because we didn't often all eat together. What happened in my household was Mom fixed whatever it was, and whoever was there ate it whenever they got a chance, and usually in front of the TV. And we never sat down together as a family except when we had family dinners on Sunday. One reason that I insisted whenever we had our family that we all sit down together for the evening meal, at the very least. I find it hard to imagine that most people, in fact, most of us, don't give a lot of thought to thanking God on a regular basis for the blessings we've been given. And then I wonder about some of my friends who are atheist. They're going to have Thanksgiving. And I just wonder, what do they do besides eat turkey? Do they give thanks? And if so, to whom do they give thanks? I find myself wondering, too, about some of the things that Katie talked about there, the folks in places where there have been great tragedies. How can they face this Thanksgiving Day and give thanks after losing family members in Sutherland Springs, Texas, or in Las Vegas, Nevada, or wherever else? There are no doubt a lot among us here today who might wonder, what do we have to be thankful for? Things aren't going well. Relationships aren't working. I don't have enough money. That type of thing. And so here's my challenge for you, and that's what the insert in your bulletin is for. I literally ask you to make a list of the things. You don't have to do it now, necessarily, and if there's several of you sharing a bulletin, you can make your own list. But I really encourage you to do this before Thanksgiving Day. Make a list of all the things that you have to be thankful for, and then list your difficulties. And I really believe that if we're honest with ourselves, this list of blessings is so much longer, so much more meaningful, so much more permanent than a list of difficulties. And so count your blessings for real. And then every time that something starts to get under your skin or you don't feel like you're blessed right at the moment, pull that list out and remind yourself what it is. The song says, "And it may surprise you what the Lord has done." It really very well may. Today's passage gives some instruction for us about how to live a life of gratitude. And we're going to look today at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. And despite the fact that it's several verses, it's very, very short. So I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's Word. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 22. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. We talked a little bit about the new believers class, and as I sit out there looking at the 8 students that I had, none of them are really new believers in the truest sense of the word, but it just happens that today we covered 2 chapters, one of them on reading your Bible, one of them on praying. And it all ties directly in. And I didn't plan that. It just, that's the way it works. But I want you to think about this. If you've ever made a resolution, and I know this is the wrong holiday for resolutions, but just in case you've ever vowed, I'm gonna memorize scripture. I'm going to remember some verses and be able to call them to mind. And anything other than John 11:35, which is Jesus wept. That's the one that most of us go for first because it's easy. But I don't think most people would be able to find it necessarily. But what we just read here in 1 Thessalonians 5, there are several simple ones to add to your list. Rejoice always, two words, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Pray without ceasing, three words, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This one's longer, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Those are some good verses to call to mind, not just because they're short, but because there's so much in them. So we're going to start at the beginning here today, which is always a good place to start. Rejoice always. And I probably have hit on this quite a bit lately, but I think it bears repeating. It's so easy to rejoice when everything's going your way. It's so easy to rejoice when your team wins or when your child is the student of the month or when the weather happens to suit you. And I know that Kobe mentioned that there are some times in the weather that don't suit us, but I praise God, really, for the change of the seasons. I also wanted to say that I would much rather have chicken teriyaki than a hot pocket any day. Any day. How do you eat those things without scarring your mouth for life? I just don't. But anyway, and I thought it was 3/4 full, too, the water. So, but the problem with most of us is that the things that we find joyful or maybe happy is just temporary. It's happiness. It's dependent upon the circumstance. Rejoicing, on the other hand, the root word of the word rejoice is joy. And joy can only come, truly only come, when we have Jesus Christ. And through him, we find joy, we find peace, we find comfort in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. One of the commentators that I read on this, he was trying to give an example of happiness. And he said, how could anybody go to Disney World and not be happy? And I thought, I don't think I'd be happy there. It's expensive. It's crowded. You got to stand in line for everything, or so I've been told. And I just could think of a lot of places I'd rather be than Disney World. But anyway, he was talking about happiness. And if being at Disney World makes you happy, then what are you when you leave Disney World? You're no longer happy. And we have to really think about happiness versus rejoicing. And rejoicing, it's not normal to be joyful. It's not normal to find joy in trials and tragedies. And it can only come through a supernatural experience, something outside of ourselves. King David wrote this in Psalm 13, verse 5. It says, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. And that's where we find joy. Gary talked about that with the song, and there's so much truth in that. We find joy in our salvation. And you know what? It's not like Disney World. It's not like the beach. When you leave, it's all over. Our salvation is eternal. We never leave it. It can't be taken from us, and we should find joy in that. David recalled the joy of his salvation more than once, and I would just encourage each of us to do the same. Verse 17, this is a challenge. Pray without ceasing. And we talked about this in our class, and we've dealt with this quite a bit in the past as well. I don't really think that Paul wrote this. I don't really think that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this to mean that we should just walk around all day long with our eyes closed and our heads bowed and praying 24 hours a day. I just don't think that can be done. That's not what he meant. We did this a few years back whenever I, in between my times here, in preparation for a revival. Brother Kyle and the revival committee had us sign up for a 24-hour prayer vigil. And each one of us was supposed to take a half hour, so that means 48 people had to sign up to do this and pray for a full 24 hours. And I signed up for the wee hours of the morning. I think it's probably all that was left, you know. But I came here from 2 to 2:30 in the morning. And I never knew 30 minutes could be so long. I felt shame because I couldn't even pray for 30 minutes. Jesus said to the disciples, could you not watch for even an hour? And I felt like once I'd said what I normally say, it was all over. And I just felt like I was repeating myself over and over again. So how in the world, if I couldn't pray for 30 minutes, how could we pray without ceasing? During the course of my normal day, I just want to tell you, many of you, most of you, come to my mind at some point, and I lift you up in prayer then. I try to, at least. On Emmanuel's Facebook page and on email, we get prayer requests fairly often from different people about different things. And I always try to stop right then and pray. Lots of times I'll type in praying, and I hope you know this. When I do that, I stop right then. I may not pray for 30 minutes, but I pray for you. I pray for the need that you've asked me to pray for. When I mail out the birthday or anniversary cards, as I walk out to the mailbox, and sometimes I got to stack pretty high, I have to start earlier, but I try to pray as I'm going to the mailbox for you, because that's your birthday. And it says in the card, I pray for you. I don't want to lie to you. So I really try to do that. When I hear the helicopter coming in, I always stop and say, God, I don't know who this is. I don't know what's going on, but I pray that you would be with this person, be with that family, make your presence known. I pray for healing. When I hear the ambulance siren, all those different times, is that enough? No, it's not. I think it's what he means when he says pray without ceasing. Always be in an attitude of prayer. Always be prepared to pray. But as we talked about in our class this morning, you need to have a time when you set aside to recognize who God is, what he's done for you, and give back to him rather than just asking him to give to you. And I pray that we all do that. I know I don't do a great job of setting time aside for prayer, but even my greatest prayer warriors, none of us could go without improving our prayer lives. Pray without ceasing. There's a reason why rejoice always is followed immediately by pray without ceasing, because our joy can be stolen when we don't keep the lines of communication open with our Heavenly Father. It's a lot more beneficial, I think, that we would lift up little prayers throughout the day than to pray for a few straight minutes, say amen, and just be done for the day. We need to pray without ceasing. And again, I confess to you, that's an area that I know I need to work on. I wonder how many of our prayers are a result of something bad happening in our lives. And so we say, God, get me out of this mess. God, I know I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I really need you now. Instead of praying only when we've got trials and tribulations, pray, thanking God for what he's given you. Psalm 100, verse 4 that Alan read to you earlier says this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Come into his presence, in other words, giving thanks, giving him praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I kind of struggled in the past. We had you remember Kenny Groves, and a lot of times he would say, bless God. And I always thought that was, how can I bless God? By doing what he asks me to do. That's how we bless God. This next verse is one that we need to focus on as we prepare for going through the holiday season. Verse 18, it says, in everything. Just think about that. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I've heard people say this a lot of different times. They'll say something like, I just wish I knew what God's will was for my life. There it is. Here it is. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's his will for you. I mean, there's other things you'll find in Scripture, but in everything, give thanks. And that really means, for this guy, I got to give thanks when it's 20 below. I've got to give thanks when I've got the flu. I've got to give thanks when things are going tough in the church or in my family or whatever else. We give thanks in everything. This past week, I had two different situations that I had to leave early because I had somebody working at the farm and somebody working at the house and different things that I had to leave early for. Then I got a call on Thursday that my grandson had a fever and was being sent home from school. And Ramona went and picked him up and took him to the doctor, but then I went and picked him up from there. And I hadn't got the message done yet. It was Thursday. I hadn't got it done yet. And I had a lot of other things going on, and this is all going to throw a big wrench into my plans because I'm going to go home with a sick grandson. But you know what? I got the message done, and I got to spend time with my boy, who I don't see him quite as often as I used to because he's one of these days he's going to outgrow Grandma and Grandpa. I mean, he's already outgrown us, obviously, but you know what I mean. And so I don't think we could ever give thanks necessarily for my grandson being sick, but I give thanks for the opportunity to spend time with him. In everything, give thanks. For many of us, the very last thing we ever want to do in the midst of our trials is say, thank you, God. Thank you for the flu. Thank you for the stoplights, which did it again today. Thank you for all of these things, God, that in the midst of the trials, give thanks. Hindsight gives us the opportunity to see that even in the depths of despair, there's something for which to be thankful. Verse 19, do not quench the spirit. I remember the first time I encountered this particular passage, this phrase, quenching the spirit. I thought of it as something good. Quenching the spirit, hey, quenching your thirst is good, isn't it? Right? And I remember all these commercials about how Pepsi will quench your thirst or whatever else. Yeah, you want to quench your thirst, but you don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. And here's why. Because when we quench our thirst, we take our thirst away. What we are doing lessens the effect of our thirst. So put that in application here to quenching the Spirit. We can't ever make the Spirit go away. If we're a believer, the Spirit indwells you. But we sure can minimize the effect that the Spirit has on us. And that's what it means. Don't ever push the Spirit away. Don't ever disappoint the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we talked last week in our New Believers class that the Holy Spirit is a Him, not an it. Refer to Him as Him. And don't minimize the effect that the Holy Spirit has on your life. The verses that we read today, it seems almost like Paul was running out of time, and I feel this way sometimes when I look at the clock and I see that we're getting close to the end of the passage and I try to rush things in, and I'm trying to get better about not doing that. But it's just like he wanted to throw in all of these thoughts. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. In everything give thanks. And I love it because they're short and sweet and to the point. But the next one says, do not despise the prophecies. Well, we've defined prophet many different times as one who speaks the word of God. Prophecies, then, are not someone foretelling the future. They are the words spoken by God through his prophet. Last Sunday evening, we're going through the book of James, and for those of you that come, last Sunday evening we had a message that really had my name written all over it. It says, basically, be patient. And don't complain. And, you know, I had more comments on that message than any message I've ever given, ever. More people commented on that and came to me and talked about it. And if you didn't get to hear it, it's on the website, or we can make a CD for you if you don't have access to that. But I want to say this. Lots of people talked to me about it, but nobody despised it in the sense that they said, that wasn't true. You shouldn't have said those things. I didn't say that at all. All they talked about was how much their toes hurt because they got their toes stepped on quite a bit. Here's the deal. If God convicts you through a prophecy, don't get mad about it. Don't blame anybody else for pointing out areas that you need to work on. Do not despise the prophecies of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't ever question what your pastors say and that you should check it. to make sure that what we're saying is the truth. But God's word says, be patient and don't complain. Pure and simple. It wasn't me that said it. It was God. If I ever say anything up here that is absolutely wrong, and you can prove it biblically, there's no despising and pointing that out. You're helping me to know, and I encourage you to do that. But if you find it in Scripture and you find that it's true, don't complain. God says, love your neighbor. And a lot of times when we hear that, we think, well, yeah, but he's not talking about that guy. Or when it says that we should welcome the alien because we were once aliens ourselves. Don't complain to me. God said it. That's what he's talking about. Don't despise what the Scriptures say. Don't despise the prophecies. And how do we know which things are right and which things are wrong? Verse 21. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. How can we test them? Again, just make sure that it's what God's word says. And I know there's a lot of things that are open to interpretation. And you've heard me talk about this before. Leviticus 19:27. I used that when I was in high school to say I shouldn't have to cut my hair. I didn't read what came before it or what came after it. I just took that one little verse to the school board and I said, this says you shouldn't have to cut your hair. That's not what it means at all. Not at all. But we need to test the things that we hear from the pulpit, the things that we read in our Sunday school literature. We need to test them against the whole of God's word. Don't pluck out a verse that says what you want it to say and then use that. Hold fast to what is good. It's really great to that people come to hear the preaching and hear the prophesying, if you will. But if we hear it and then we walk away from it and don't allow it to conform us, transform us, we're despising the prophecy. Listen to what God says and then act upon it. One last thing that's a good thing to hold on to, verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. Matthew Henry commentary said this. We should abstain from sin. We should abstain from whatever looks like sin. Abstain from whatever leads to sin. Abstain from whatever borders on sin. In other words, if there's any doubt, abstain. Don't do it. Now, the world in which we live today in 2017 presents a lot of difficulty in the terms of avoiding evil because it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. And it's also different than it was in the past. Some things that were clearly evil when I was growing up a long time ago are fully accepted and, in fact, encouraged today. It's still evil, even if society says it's not. Don't let the world dictate what is or is not good or evil. The world changes every day. God's word, however, and this is one of the things you can write on your list of blessings, God's word never changes. God himself never changes. And what God said is evil is still evil, even if the world thinks it's great. Also, one last thing I want to share with you about this week. We're going to have Thanksgiving on Thursday, and I don't know if most of you will have your celebrations on that day or some other day, but don't let your thankfulness be confined to the fourth Thursday in November. Always be thankful. In all things, give thanks. All times, give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for even the greatest trials that we've gone through. I really hope that you can include on your list of blessings your salvation. That should be number one, folks, on your list. Praise God. Thank God for the gift of salvation that he gave you that can never be taken away. But as we come to the close of this message today, if you're one of those who is here today and has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, first of all, you can't really know joy. You can't rejoice always because without salvation, Your destiny is hell, pure and simple. It's hard to rejoice when you think about being in hell for eternity. I pray if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, this be the day that you would recognize you're a sinner, as we all are. That the only way to have that sin removed is through the blood of Jesus Christ and asking him to come into your heart and the Holy Spirit indwelling within you and confessing that before men. If there's one here today that needs to do that, what a wonderful time to remember. I got saved right before Thanksgiving. And you can praise God and remember that every single year. But again, don't just confine it to that one time of the year. Thank God always for the gifts that he's given you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for trials. I thank you for difficulties. I thank you for the things that I don't like going through. Because by going through them, Lord, you've grown us. You've changed us. You've redirected us. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you also for the incredible blessings of this church, of my family, of my friends. Lord, I just praise your name for who you are and what you've done in our lives. Help us to be grateful. Help us to recognize that all good and perfect gifts come from you. And I just pray, God, as we go through this time of the official Thanksgiving, that we don't just do it that one week out of the year, that we truly are grateful, Lord, for what you do for us. I pray, Lord, especially today, that if there be one here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, let this be the day that they give that up, that they stop carrying around the baggage and the burden of sin and give it to you, Lord, because you died so that we might be able to do that. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for each and every one here today, Lord, and I pray your rich blessing upon them, and I thank you for all these things now. In Jesus' name, amen.